Hello, everyone. I'm Chuka.
And I'm Emmanuel.
And you're listening to Inside the Techosystem podcast, where we explore Nigeria's tech landscape one conversation at a time.
Hey, ITT fam. Welcome back to the show.
Yes. Welcome back. We are back for the year. Thank God. Thank goodness.
We've been away for almost 4 months, I believe.
Oh, Jesus.
4 months.
Emmanuel, every time you say it, it just makes me... Why did it take so long sometimes?
Let me explain. So we took an official break in December.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to be back in February. But some things came up and we couldn't record. Actually, the main thing that came up was, first of all, we're a bit lazy.
No, I was not lazy.
We're a bit lazy at first. And then Chuka came to Amsterdam for about 2 weeks during at the end of February or so into March. Yeah. But before we talk about Amsterdam, like what you did and everything, we're recording the first episode of the year, right?
Yes.
So we're really excited to do that. And we are doing this where?
We're doing this in Lagos.
Ooh, we're doing this right now.
Yeah.
In Lagos.
Emmanuel's knees are touching my knees right now.
Come on, bro.
I hate this. So this is the first time we're recording together in almost three years. Yeah. It's crazy.
So it's kind of odd because I'm talking to him and
I'm used to you being
he's right here in my front.
I'm used to you being at the other end of the screen.
Yeah.
So this is nice.
Yeah,
we should do this more often, you know?
Yeah, you can pay for this life. That'll be nice. So let's talk about Amsterdam. Why Amsterdam? Like, what took you there? What were you looking for? I live in Amsterdam, so maybe you were looking for me.
That's not true. I don't think I'll make that trip. You're not that important.
Wow.
First of all, I'll say something. So where I feel like a lot of shows took breaks because I listen to other shows. A lot of shows took breaks, and when everybody came back, mostly in February, most people released their first episode of the year in February. Some did not take breaks, right? I was just like, oh crap, okay, well, about to be back and stuff. And just February went by and then March went by and then we didn't drop anything. So I'm excited to be back. I've missed this microphone, by the way. Amsterdam. I was in Amsterdam for 2 weeks, my first time in Europe, and it was very interesting. Once you get past the cold, I guess everything starts like feel enjoyable. It was very interesting. I was in Amsterdam for a conference. I was there for UGS Amsterdam and Dev World. It was great. Emmanuel just happens to be living in Amsterdam. So after the conference, I ended up staying over at Ease. Like, conference took like 3 days. And after 3 days, I stayed an extra 11. And then we took one trip to Milan, and then we came back, and that was fun. Honestly, I miss it. Like, because Nigeria is what? How hot is it right now?
Yeah, I can explain. So Nigeria is really hot. Like, everywhere is hot unless you have an AC.
Mm.
So it means for example, if you don't have lights or you don't have gen, you are cooked. Like, literally, like, you know when you cook meat?
Proper cook. It's so hot in this place.
So that's how it is.
But, like, you can't get everything you want. In Amsterdam, I complained about cold so much. Yeah. Every single day I was complaining because it was cold. And the problem with Amsterdam is windy.
Yeah, it is.
It's very windy. So that's the problem. It may not be that cold, but once that wind touches your neck,
yeah,
my God,
it's crazy, right?
Yeah, but like, coming to Amsterdam made me understand a lot of things.
Mm.
Like, things I used to tell me before,
yeah,
I could not understand. I could not visualize it. But when I came, okay, this is how things work here, and this is why you can't do this and you can't do that, and it just made more sense to me. So yeah, Amsterdam was great. Honestly, I had the best time. I turned into a part-time street photographer while I was in Amsterdam. It was awesome. when I was coming to Amsterdam, because I came end of February, when I was coming, Emmanuel and I had plans to record a couple of episodes, as well as do vlogs. I don't know where those dreams went, but like, he wasn't off work. I personally wasn't off work. And then, you know, time management and just like trying to get things done got a little bit tricky. And that just made me realize that scheduling is tough.
Real, real tough.
Do you pronounce it scheduling or scheduling?
I pronounce it scheduling.
Mm. What?
There are two ways, scheduling or scheduling.
So
I prefer scheduling.
So who says scheduling?
I don't know if it's a British American English thing.
Schedule.
I think British would say schedule.
Really?
And then Americans would say schedule.
I'm going to verify that fact. I don't trust this guy.
No voila.
Yeah, scheduling is tough. I want to say Emmanuel does a way better job than me.
Well, because I have to agree. You're really terrible.
No,
I have to agree to that.
I'm trash, right? But we're trying. So, E, tell me about your personal struggle with time management and having more hobbies than
you can manage.
than you've had in the past.
Yeah, I understand. So where do I even start? I think time management has always been a thing I've been thinking about like far back as I was in primary school. Okay, maybe not primary school, I'll say secondary school. Because like whether I like it or not, in secondary school you still have to plan things for you to succeed properly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been thinking about it. So I've always had ways to kind of deal with the load I had at the time. So in secondary school it was maybe, I have to read five books for some exams, and how do I schedule it properly? So so over time, either the older I get or the more stuff I have to do, then it breaks my current solution, then I have to think about something else. So in the last, for example, this year, I struggled a lot with when something unexpected comes in, I tend to lose track of my time and lose track of my schedule. So let's say I've scheduled the entire day, like hour for hour, and I say, okay, by 6 p.m. I'm supposed to do this. And someone just comes to my house and says hello. From that, the rest of the evening is probably gone, and those things are not done.
Mm.
And then they will now be moved to the next day.
Mm.
The next day already had its own things, so it messes up everything essentially. So that's my struggle at the moment, but I've had different struggles over time. So, but you can kind of characterize all of my struggles as the load is bigger than the solution I have at the moment.
Yeah. So, let me talk about my own struggles. Recently, I've been thinking of getting tested for ADHD. I hope
nobody. You didn't tell me that one, though.
But man, I feel like my focus starts like different places in one, like in a very short time. I struggle with focusing sometimes, right? But I think what I've realized from trying to manage my time lately is conserving your energy and maximizing your time for when your energy levels are highest is so underrated. Like, no matter how motivated you are, no matter how important it is, anyway, that one is a different story because I think adrenaline kicks in when the deadline is tomorrow. Yeah. But energy levels are so important, really, because you have to have strength to do anything. So no matter how motivated you are or whatnot, your energy levels have to be up there.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's something I have deceived myself on a lot.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I set out to do things where my energy level is not the best.
Yeah.
Right. And then I start blaming myself and I am mad at myself. I'm upset at myself because I've not been able to complete it. So right now what I'm trying to do is, okay, these are the times where my brain is most active or I have nobody to disturb me or I just get into that zone, right? And I'm just like, I'm thinking that, you know, if I can put more demanding tasks around that period, it just helps me do things better. So tell me, what are some hobbies do you have been trying to pick up lately?
I am not trying to pick up any hobbies anymore, at least for now. I can talk about the hobbies that I picked up over time and dropped, so that can explain why I'm not picking up any new habits or any new hobbies.
Okay.
The year is 2019.
Okay.
I have just finished school. I just got my first job. I'm excited to work.
Let's go.
I have no hobbies.
Zero.
I work for about 6 months and somehow...
You have basketball though.
I've always had basketball, yeah.
Okay, so basketball doesn't count in this context.
Basketball is a hobby.
Ball is life.
Ball is life. I'm sorry, yeah. Ball is life, yeah. Ball is life, ball is life. I can't reason out of this. So, ball is life. I left school, got a job, started working, and my work was basically 12 to 12. I kind of worked all day, worked all weekend, so I didn't have any hobbies.
Wait, really?
Yeah, my first job. So after a while...
I think...
Yeah. Really? My first job, yeah.
12 to 12?
No, I mean, like, I was on schedule.
Was it because you were trying to upscale?
I think it was partly because I enjoyed the work as well.
Oh, wow.
But there was a lot to do. And I was, like, we only had two engineers, so there was always something to do. So instead of coming back on Monday to do 10 things, I can just do some on the weekend and have five, something like that. So, but after I got some time, I got some free time, then I started thinking, oh, what can I do? So I started exploring some of my childhood, you know, aspirations, like learning music. So I started with music. I actually started with music theory, and then I picked up guitar, and then I picked up, what was it? I think writing or something. Writing, guitar. I added gym to it. What else did I add? There were three other things. I actually had a page where I put all of them and put hours that I would spend per week. So the first thing I dropped was the guitar. I dropped it actually after 3 months or so. Then I kind of dropped the gym. It just happened. It just happened. So fast forward. I relocated to Denmark, and then now I relocated to Netherlands. I'm living in Amsterdam. So in Amsterdam, I had cut down many of those hobbies. So I'm left with just basketball and learning personal finance on the side. And
finance,
playing,
bro.
Yes, I'm playing games. So I didn't mention video games.
Oh, yeah,
video games, and then I dropped it, and then I picked it up when I got the console.
Yeah. So, Emmanuel is a finance bro now.
I'm not a finance bro.
Someone said finance bros are who tech bros think they are.
Yeah, that hurts a lot because now I actually know what they mean.
Nah, finance bros.
It's insane.
They're on a different level, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not talk too much about them.
All right. So there's this popular quote that says, "Find three hobbies: one to make you money, one to keep you in shape, and one to keep you creative." So if you have basketball, finance, and video games,
I'm not sure if video games make you creative. They do, but
I think they
not
do in a way.
It depends on how you play it.
I think
for me, it hasn't made me any creative because I play only one game.
FIFA, yeah. All right, so I let me talk about my hobbies. Right, I've always had a bunch of hobbies. I always think I can do everything. One very good thing about having E in your life is that Emmanuel is realistic. Realistic, will tell you, bruh, look, let me just tell you the truth. You can't do five things in one day. It's obviously not possible. All right. So, yeah, I have tried my best to, you know, apart from my full-time job, basketball, obviously, ball is life.
Say it again.
Basketball. I try my best. No, don't shame me on this podcast.
No, it's okay.
I try my best. It's good. Basketball. Then I also tried to start music. I've had dreams of learning to play the ukulele for years. I got an ukulele. It's currently, I'm staring
ukulele,
at it right now.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Is it A or an?
It's A. Even if it's a U.
I got a ukulele. Yeah. I'm staring at it right now. Haven't done much with that. I also picked up drawing again. I used to be an art prodigy as a kid.
Prodigy.
I'm telling you, man.
Wow.
I was so good.
You were?
Yeah. I could shade, I could color.
I'm surprised.
I used to go for art competition.
I'm surprised.
How? My father is a world renowned
artist. I understand. But I'm still surprised.
Yeah, and then what else? Yeah, and then tech, you know, programming and whatnot. That's not a hobby, I mean. But like, yeah, so those are the hobbies currently that I'm battling with. And I'm trying to acquire more life skills, like learning how to drive and learning how to swim. But this has not been easy.
Yeah.
So Emmanuel introduced me to something recently called time-based and goal-based setting scheduling. So I'm going to let him talk about that for a while.
So backstory. I have a group of friends where I share my yearly goals with, and we discuss every month like the progress. So I was having that conversation at the end of March, that was last month, and we realized that we were a bit behind in our goals. And while we were talking, I had the idea of maybe the reason why me personally I'm struggling is because of the way my scheduling is. And then I thought of a way to solve it. So for example, whenever I travel, I am unable to keep up with my schedule because my schedule is time-based. So what time-based means is that you put different things that you need to do for each hour of the day. So for example, let's say you go to the gym. Okay, gym 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sorry. Gym 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And then you come back home. You do, let's say, 9 a.m. breakfast. So every hour has something.
Mm.
So what it means is that when it's time for... Clock. Yes, exactly. I'm always on the clock. So if I travel or something disrupts my time, it means I might not be able to do some things and I'll feel a bit bad, and it might discourage me from continuing my schedule for the rest of the day. Now, compare this to goal-based scheduling. Goal-based scheduling is basically you put a list of things that you want to achieve for the day, and that's what drives the day. It doesn't matter when you do it, doesn't matter when what happens. So for example, let's say you have 3 goals, which I would advise you do that you have. You don't need to have it 1,000 goals, just have a few goals.
And
of course, eating breakfast is not a goal. Going to work is not a goal. So you don't be realistic with what you would forget if you don't put down. So goals, let's say you have 3 goals. Doesn't matter when you do them, just do them. So that way you're not on time. You're not thinking of, oh, 7 p.m. I need to work on this. Unless, of course, you need to collaborate with someone that you've already scheduled, or there's a deadline, yeah. Right? So these two ways of scheduling help you to be able to balance things when different scenarios come up. So I would say that by default, you should be on the time-based, which means you have things are automated, meaning you wake up, you know what to do, everything is already planned. Then perhaps something happens during that day. Let's say you have to all of a sudden travel somewhere, or you have friends over and stuff like that, and you know that you won't have the same energy you normally have. It will be nice for you to switch to goal-based. So you just write 3 important things that you need to do that day. So you have, let's say you have to send an email out to a recruiter or something, and you have to write some article or do something big. So you write those 3 goals down and you are able to achieve them by working on them every chance you have. So once you, let's say you're done with work, when you're in traffic, let's say you're on traffic back home, you can work on that thing in that car or something. But if you're on time base, you wouldn't have been able to like get yourself to just like scatter things and get things done. So those are the two types of scheduling. Of course, this is something I thought of on the go. It wasn't something that
You invented this?
I'm sure it already exists somewhere.
Have you done research?
No, not yet. So yeah,
you can have your own patent or something.
Maybe.
Like, are you sure you thought you read this in a book or
something? No. So this is just me coming up with a solution on the fly. I haven't spent time to research this and see if it's actually something people use.
Yeah.
So there might be more types. So maybe time-based, there is time-based, there's goal. I'm sure there is also energy-based.
Probably. I feel like energy-based can fall into goal-based.
Yes.
Because it doesn't really matter when you do it, as long as you do it. So maybe you prioritize for when your energies are very high.
Exactly. So it's almost like eat your frog. If you know the book by Brian Tracy.
I don't really go with the analogy.
No, eat your frog just means your biggest goals, finish them on time.
Yes.
Yeah.
He says do it first.
Yeah, do it first makes sense for me.
I don't know about that.
Because if you start picking up like small things, you start getting tired over time.
True, fair.
But that's the idea. So this is basically what I've come up with. I am currently trying it. It has worked so far since I'm in Lagos, because when I'm in Lagos, I have to throw out my time-based schedule. I have been using the goal base, and so far, so good. It has been working, but yeah. I've been mostly putting like 6 things, and I keep on achieving only 3. So I would say limiting it to 3. Yeah, listen, hey, Odudua, please. So limiting it to... No, right. Limiting, we're not cutting this. I'm proud to be from Odudua. So limiting this to 3 goals per day makes it easy. Mm-hmm. I think Warren Buffett, one of the greatest investors of all time, maybe the greatest, and one of the richest men right now, does the same. And I think his own is 3 goals per week, Seth. But I think that's a privilege many people don't have.
But he's a big goal guy. One of his goals is not to maybe wash the car or something. Yeah.
So maybe that's the privilege that he has. So, of course, but there are ways that you can also make that for yourself, like kicking out things that are not important in your schedule. So that's essentially what this is.
Mm.
And there are some resources, I think, that we can talk about.
Yeah. So first of all, I mentioned earlier that Emmanuel is way better at these things than me, and I try to learn from him. I actually found out recently that Emmanuel is a very smart guy.
Hey, I'm not that smart.
Bro. I think I underrated you in the past.
Bro, I'm not that smart.
But I saw one of your results recently.
No. Let's not put my hand.
All right, so I'm going to talk about a couple of resources. Actually, I think there's one that I know very well about. Okay, Eisenhower and Atomic Habits, right? So the Eisenhower Matrix is one time management technique or productivity technique that I think is amazing, right? I think some of us, we inundate ourselves with a lot of tasks, right? Which we kind of know at the back of our minds that we don't really need to do all these things, or we can't accomplish all these things. So what the Eisenhower matrix helps you to do is to prioritize what tasks you actually need to get done and which one you can leave for later, or which one you don't even need at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a matrix that is divided into urgency and importance. Right, so what tasks are urgent and important? What tasks are important but not urgent?
Yeah.
What tasks are urgent but not important?
So it's not only me.
And what tasks are not important and not urgent? Right, so you know, if you group your tasks in these 4 quadrants, you have the opportunity of actually prioritizing properly and knowing what to do and at what time. So I'll leave the link to that in the show notes.
Makes sense. So Atomic Habits is the second one. It's a very famous book. It's just a book that is discussing how you can break down any big goals you have into the smallest units.
Shout out to James Clear.
Exactly. Into the smallest units so that you can actually achieve them without feeling the weight of the entire goal.
Mm-hmm.
The Maker Schedule is an article by Paul Graham explaining how people in tech, or people that do knowledge work usually, need huge chunks of time, like big blocks of time to work on things that are very difficult to work on. So for example, you have to program, or you have to write a new book. So you need extended periods of time for your schedule. So this helps for people that work in knowledge, who are knowledge workers. Based, And then deep work.
I need to read more about
them. Yeah, I'll also link that in the show notes.
Yeah.
And then deep work is a book that is about something similar.
Which I don't completely agree with.
Yeah. So it's a book about like spending a long time, also like the Maker Schedule, in doing what he calls deep work. Work that requires a lot of cognitive load. Mm-hmm. Not cognitive load, that's the wrong word. Cognitive something. Something that has to do with brain.
Focus.
You just need to be focused for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the resources. There are a lot more resources that we can think of, but of course, these are good starting points.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
Yeah. So, any tips for people struggling with time management or setting goals right now?
I would say, Yeah, I would say to us that we should never forget the place of just getting things done. Like, just shut yourself up and work.
Done is better than perfect.
Yes, done is better than perfect. And don't drool too much on your mistakes. Mm-hmm. And try to... one new thing I discovered is journaling. So if you journal every evening, you can bounce back every other day. But if you don't journal at all, you can be on one bad spot for weeks and you don't know. So those are the tips I have.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're glad to be back and we can't wait to keep to start churning out more interesting and lovely episodes. We already have some in the queue already. Thank you guys so much for listening and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We release new episodes every month. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And if you enjoy the show as much as we do, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review so the podcast reaches more people.
A huge shout out to the amazing team behind this show. This includes John Ayeni, Faith Idowu, Okechukwu Nwachukwu, and of course, your lovely host, Emmanuel Anai. Connect with us on social media at Inside the Techos on Instagram and Twitter and Inside the Techos System on LinkedIn. Be one of the first people to get the latest news, updates and announcements from us by subscribing to our newsletter. We promise we only share the coolest stuff. All right, seeing you the next one.